North Rock Podcast.
Everybody, how's everybody doing today? Good, good, good. Okay, well, I'm excited about this topic. I don't know if you guys know much about me, but I like to pray. So we're going to be talking about praying. Imagine that. First, I just wanted to talk a little bit about distractions. So I brought my phone up here. It's usually with me all the time. We, I think, as a community, even really as a nation, I think, we're distracted. We live super busy lives. We have sports stuff going on. We keep in touch with everybody via Facebook. Like, we just live super distracted lives. And to the point where we can be so distracted that we're not even present with the people that were around us, and we're not listening to people. We have apps on our phone, right? I'm guilty of this too. Not guilty, but I have them on my phone. But Facebook, I can pop up Facebook and keep in touch with people. My husband keeps it up with sports, the latest sports scores or whatever on his app on his phone. We're constantly busy and texting. We even have like a family group text thing going where we can keep in touch with each other all the time. But what I find, though, is that when I'm present with people that are right here with me and I'm concentrating on my phone, that I'm not being present. I'm not listening to what they're saying. It's almost like our cell phones have like this little megaphone, right? Like, oh, wait, it might beep, so I have to have it right here with me. How many of us, honest, if you can be honest, have left your house without your cell phone and spent the whole day without it? Or did you turn around and go back and get it? Yep. So I did that yesterday. And I'm speaking on it today. But anyway, we were in the driveway, and we were going to be gone for the day. And I looked down. I'm like, oh, don't have my phone, honey. Stop the car. I have to go back in and get it. Oh, my goodness. So I'm right there with you. But I just wanted to highlight this because I feel like it's true for all of us. And I just wanted to bring it out into the open and just, yeah, let's be real with each other about it. It reminds me of a story with my grandson, Jace. If you know me, you know I'm a grandma. They are the highlight of my life right now. And so Jace is 5, and when I get to spend time with him, he demands my attention all the time. And so he tells me these stories, and we have really good conversations. And one time I was on my phone, and I was returning a text, and he knew that I wasn't paying attention. And he said, "Grandma, you're not listening to me," because he can't say his L's. And I was stunned for a second, and I thought, oh, you're right. I wasn't listening to you. And so I had to apologize to him, and, you know, we went on, and he's 5, and he forgives me because he loves me. But just how many times do we do that on an everyday basis? If you see people, like even in the grocery store, got our phones, you know, everywhere. So I liked this idea. I don't know if you guys watch the Fixer Upper show with Chip and Joanna Gaines. But I watched this one where they built a restaurant in Waco, and it's called Magnolia Table. And they showed a picture of this little leather pouch. And I thought, and there's one at every table. And I thought, oh, how cool is that? They have like a place for their menus. And they said, it's not for the menus. It's for you to put your cell phone in. So that way when you're sitting at a table and you're being present with the people around you, you can pop your cell phone in there. And then have good conversation with the people around you. So I thought that was kind of a fun idea. And I wonder how many, if we would take that challenge on and even turn off our phones while we're out at a restaurant. But relationships are so important, aren't they? Like with our family, with our friends, we value that. We have this like innate little thing inside of us that really longs to connect. And so distractions can almost be an enemy, really, of listening, because we're so busy with other things. Let's pray real quick. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for just bringing out to light, Lord, what we all struggle with on a day-to-day basis. But, Lord, that you are the one that ever listens to us. I pray, Father, that as we are listening to what you have to say to us this morning, that you would open up our ears to hear and really listen to what you have to say. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you haven't figured it out, we are going to be talking about listening and being present. The definition of listening: to give attention with ear, to pay attention, to heed or obey. So we've already talked about distractions. What else is another enemy of listening? I would like to argue that, or not argue, suggest that miscommunication is another one. A great example of this is with my younger son, John. He was a teenager at the time, and he had his driver's license, and he broke his foot, his right foot. And we went to the doctor to get a cast on it, and while we were in there, the doctor was telling him what he could do, what he couldn't do. We got to the topic of driving, and the doctor said, now, it will be a challenge, you know, because you'll have to learn how to use it, drive with your left foot rather than your right foot. So, anyway, we left the doctor's appointment, and as I was walking out, I'm like, so I guess I get to be your chauffeur for a little while because you're not going to be able to drive. And he looked at me. I'm like, well, didn't you hear what the doctor said? He said, yeah. He said it was going to be a challenge, but I just needed to learn how to drive with my left foot. And I was like, that's not what he said. He said that you shouldn't drive because you have to drive with your left foot. But we both heard the same words come out of this doctor's mouth. But it's almost like we have a different filter. I had a mom filter. I wanted my kid to be safe. I don't want you driving with your left foot. He's a challenge taker. He's like, I'm going to take that challenge on. I'm going to drive. And he did. So anyway, that was years ago. Oh. What about our relationship with God? What about listening with our relationship with God? Just like with any relationship, he desires for us to be able to speak to him, but he also wants to speak to us, and he wants us to be able to be paying attention so that we can listen. How many times do we go into our prayer closet or we list off our prayer requests, tick them off like a little to-do list, and then we exit and we don't pause to listen, to hear what the Lord might say to us? Oh my goodness. So, right? Like, how many signs do we need? Or have you guys heard the one about the guy that was drowning? He was in a floodplain, and the water started to rise, and there was a boat that came by his house, and they said, come on out, we'll save you. He's like, no, Lord's going to save me. I'm going to be fine. You go on without me. And then the water started rising, and then he had to work his way up to the roof, and a helicopter came. Come on, we'll save you. No, 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 you go on without me. The Lord's going to save me. And so the floodwaters actually took him away, and he died. He got to heaven, and he said, Lord, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter. What more do you need? So just funny how we could, like, have our own expectations of how we think that the Lord is going to save us or answer our prayer requests. But let's be open to whatever he might have in mind for us. I think another enemy of listening to God is our self-talk, or our myths that we believe, that we hear in the back of our minds. And you can fill in the blank. There's all kinds of them. I just picked out a few. One, God doesn't speak to me. I can't hear him. I've sinned so much and so badly, there's no way. Or God is angry with me. And then grace enters the picture. Because we are followers of Jesus, and he says that his grace is sufficient for us. There are a lot of promises in God's word that can counteract these myths, these self-talks, these self-defeating things that we tell ourselves. And I'd like to just counteract a few of these with you today. So that God doesn't speak to me, I can't hear him. Let's read John 10, 1 through 3, and then verse 11. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So right here, God talks to us. Are we expectant of it? Do we expect that God is going to be speaking to us, or do we count it as a coincidence, something that just happened? I would like to suggest that we should walk out of here and be expectant that God is talking to us. How about the next one? I have sinned so much and so badly. Romans 3, 21 through 23. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Our sin is not a surprise to God. He died for it. And that is a truth that we can hang on to. He knows we're human. He created us, and he wants to meet with us. How about God is angry with me? Oh my goodness, nothing could be further from the truth. He's not angry with us. Sometimes I think we can have this picture of like a wrathful God. That's not an accurate picture of him. He loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us so we could spend eternity with him. And it also says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love this quote from Daniel Brown out of this book that we are reading. If you do not hear love and grace when God speaks to your spirit, then what you hear is a false spirit. Isn't that powerful when you stop and think about that for a minute? If you do not hear love and grace when God speaks to your spirit, then what you hear is a false spirit. I have a story that I sometimes tell about one of the first times I actually really remember hearing from the Lord. I call it my Mr. Clean story because if you guys have ever seen the little Mr. Clean magic eraser, the little cleaning thing that you can get, it is an amazing, amazing invention. I was down on my hands and knees cleaning my shower stall, right? And so, you know, it has like the little bumps. And so the dirt kind of gets in between the little bumps. Well, this magic eraser, if you get down in there, will clean it out. And I was doing that one day, and I felt like the Lord say, you know how that magic eraser is kind of erasing all the dirt out of there? I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do for you. I was like, oh. And I just remember this feeling of like almost excitement and joy in my heart. When I think back about what he said to me, I'm like, oh, he's going to really clean me out. And that was, I'll be honest, it was a little painful. Because when you get in there and dig out that dirt, sometimes that can be a little painful. But in that moment when he spoke to my heart, I knew it was from him because I had such peace. I had such peace when he said it, and he's been so faithful and good to me to walk it out day by day by day. Am I where I need to be? Absolutely not. I still have a long way to go, but he promises to be with me. And he gave me this scripture to hang on to as I'm walking through this journey, and I use it a lot to counteract my self-talk because I dealt with a lot of fear. I had fear of pretty much anything. Well, probably as the... the doctor visit with my son can attest to, I had a fear that he was going to be, you know, hurt or something. But what the Lord gave me this scripture, and I remember to say it, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you, and I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So when those fears come in, and they do, I can counteract that self-talk or that self-defeating thing with the scripture, the promises of God's word. Can I encourage you that it's not too late? It's not too late to learn the scriptures, the promises that will help you defeat those self-defeating thoughts. spiritual discipline. Now, I know I throw up a word discipline, and don't tune out. It's really worth it for you just to listen a little bit longer. The spiritual discipline of spending time with God, it really does make a difference in our lives. As people around me can probably attest to, when I don't spend time with the Lord in the morning, they can tell. So I can't, speak highly enough of it. I think prayer is definitely part of that. And I looked up the definition of prayer. To offer devout petition, praise, and thanks to God. To enter into a spiritual communion with him. So then I looked up communion because I thought, ooh, that's good. And it's the interchange or sharing of thoughts or emotions. It's an intimate communication. So your time alone with the Lord is an intimate communication. Communication implies back and forth. It's not just you rattling off your list of prayer requests that you have to get through. Nope, it's pausing and listening to what the Lord might be saying to you. So I thought I would just share a little bit about what my prayer time might look like on an average day. It's morphed over time. And please don't feel like this is a set of rules. This is how you have to do it. I'm just going to share what I do. I usually start off with some worship music because I'm a music person and I love listening to it. I've got some songs downloaded, yes, on my handy phone that I can pull up at any time and just listen. And it puts me in the right frame of mind to really focus on God and how good he is and who he is in my life. And then I'll spend some time praising him for who he is. Like, praise you, Lord. Praise you, God, that you are the God of peace. You're giving me peace right now. Lord, I praise you that you are my provider. You provide all that I need. Lord, I praise you that you are my comforter. Even though I might be going through a really hard time right now, I just praise you, Lord, because I know the truth of that is that you are my comforter. And then I spend some time thanking him. Because we can all be thankful, right? We live in America. Lord, I thank you for the friends that you've given to me. Lord, I thank you for my family. I thank you for the blessing that you helped my son out last week. Lord, that was such a beautiful example of how good you are to each one of us. And you can go on and on and on for however long you need to go. And then the petition part. Coming to the Lord and just being really honest with him. Remember, it's intimate communication. He already knows. He already knows what's going on inside. He already knows. But just speaking it out loud. Lord, I'm really struggling with fear right now. I don't want to do this, but I know, Lord, that you want me to. Please help me to push past that fear. And give me a promise, Lord. Can you give me a promise that I can really hear you and what your word is saying to me about that? And then study. Studying the scripture. He gave it to us. He gave us his Bible. And he wants us to read it. We have a bunch of different resources. And I know I said apps were, I didn't say apps were bad, but there's another app you can have for your phone. It's called the Bible Gateway app. You can plug in any kind of theme that you want to in there. And it'll pop up scripture for you so that way you can pray it. And then I would suggest just start memorizing it or start looking up definitions of words. But just spend a little bit of time studying in his word. And if you don't want to start that way, there's Proverbs broken down into 31 chapters. You can do a proverb a day. Or how about the Psalms? Oh, so comforting in times, right? There's so many different ways we can get started. We even have this prayer journal that we do here at North Rock where our prayer topic this month is peace. There's a scripture like the one that Andrew just prayed. And then we have some helpful tools to, like, just questions to ask you about your walk with the Lord and help you to get more in tune with the scriptures and help you to look them up a little bit. So if you want a copy of that, I highly recommend it. We're going to be doing this all year. So this one goes, I think, through the end of May, and then we'll have something that'll go over the summer. But just spend time with him, right? That's the important piece. So I've just given you a bunch of information, right? What I want to do now is have the worship team come up and just play some music quietly in the background. But I want us to walk this out. I want us to spend some time just quietly listening and see if the Lord has something to say to you. And if he does, I want you to lift your hand up so I can see it, and so everybody else can see it too. And then we will have the worship team sing a song, and then I'll come back to close. What a powerful name. What a powerful name. Thank you, Jesus. I have one more myth. If I could just work a little harder at this, I know I can get better. False. Grace says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It is by grace. It is by grace you were able to hear him when we paused and we prayed a little bit. I saw some hands raise. I really encourage you to write that word down, whatever it is he spoke to you this morning, and pray about it through the week. He might have some things to add on or a way for you to walk it out or whatever that might look like. But rely on his grace, his enabling, remember? His enabling to help you walk that out. Now, some of us have been around walking with Jesus for a really long time. I just encourage you today to spend some time with him. And maybe you're great at it and you're spending time with him every day. That's awesome. Keep it up. But if you're like me and sometimes, yeah, I get busy and distracted and lose track, let's make it a really big commitment to really spend some time with him this week. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, this is the first time you've heard about God's grace towards you, and that you don't have to take those self-defeating thoughts and claim them as truth in your life, that God actually has something to speak into your life that will counteract that. Oh my goodness, Jesus loves you so much. It's no accident that you're here this morning. He really wants you to be in relationship with him. And if that's you here today and you feel a stirring in your heart, just say yes. It's probably the best decision you'll ever make. We're going to pray a prayer together that we pray every week here at North Rock. And if this is your 500th time praying this, I want you to pray it like it's your first. And if it's your first time really praying it, I want to meet you down here because I have a gift for you after service. But let's pray this together. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and I trust. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, you guys. Blessings this week. Go spend some time with the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.